Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Quorum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Do you know how to tell the difference between everyday work stress and full-blown burnout? Today, psychiatrist Dr. Gail Saltz joins me to share her framework for recognizing the key signs of burnout and actionable strategies to address it. As a best-selling author and go-to media expert on mental health, Dr. Saltz brings deep clinical insights to help you prevent burnout and from developing other serious health issues. She explains how to regulate stressors, talk to your boss if you're feeling like you're getting burnout, and use proven coping tools. If you or someone you know is feeling the effects of burnout or is on the brink of burnout, this episode is for you. But before we get started, if you've learned something from the Blueprint podcast over these 450 plus episodes, please do me a favor. Leave us a written review and rating on whichever listening platform you are joining us from, as this does a couple key things. One, it allows us to continue to bring on great guests like Dr. Gail Saltz, who we're having on today, and it helps us grow the show. So do your part. Leave us a rating and review. Now, let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best. Dr. Saltz, how can we recognize the difference between burnout and just maybe a little anxiety or other mental health issues?
It's difficult, which is why a lot of people don't recognize the difference. But burnout is not a psychiatric diagnosis. It is a diagnosis defined by the World Health Organization, but it is related to the cause of work, essentially, or caregiving or some external stressor, as opposed to a biologic process. That being said, it can develop into a biologic process like an anxiety disorder or a mood disorder. But the defining difference one will note is really the hallmark of feeling cynical and numb. So you might be fatigued, you might be feeling very anxious, you might be feeling very low. But if you find that your running thoughts are sort of like, what's the point? This will all go negatively. If you're at work and you're sort of, you feel like everything, you just feel cynical and like, this is poop for better. You know, this is just not working at all. I expect nothing to work. That is a real hallmark. Or depersonalized, detached, and sort of numb. Like you feel like you're separated from everybody. You don't feel present. You feel this numb feeling as you're walking through the days. Those two signs would make it distinctly different from an anxiety disorder or a mood disorder to start with. And it's important to know the difference because with burnout, the antidote has to do with attending to whatever has given you the burnout in the first place. So it has to do with delegating more, talking to your boss about how you can offload certain things. Can you take a vacation? Can you take a mental health day? What can you do to remove some of the things on your plate? That is what you need to be doing as opposed to, you know, medication or psychotherapy alone.
This is interesting because some people are just cynical in nature, right? So it needs to be a deviation from your norm.
That is correct.
I think the detached, numb, most people could probably relate to that because we all know that person in the office is just, or that you work with, it's just cynical period. And you're like, okay, they're not burnout. That's just who they are. So when this happens and you start feeling this way, or if you're not a cynical person, you're a very bright, optimistic person, you need to start looking at how to remove controllable stressors. Is that what I'm hearing?
That is true. Controllable stressors. You know, it's very easy for me to sit here and say, maybe you need to get a different job. But let's be honest, most people can't just get a different job. Right. Might not be able to take vacation, you know. But a lot of people, frankly, have vacation and don't use it. Mm. And then you get in this burnout cycle and you don't think about using it. I really advise it's very important to have breaks, to have time off. It's also like, frankly, everybody's very commonly aware now of the vernacular of burnout, and companies are attending to, they don't want their employees to burn out. Why? They don't do as good a job. You know, you can't do as good a job. Right. So going to your boss and saying like, I think I'm struggling with some burnout. I want to constructively brainstorm about ways to manage some of these things so that I can be the best employee for you, is a good way to put it. And sometimes it's a matter of your just boss is unaware of everything that is on your plate. You know, they're juggling balls too. So making them aware, seeing what can be moved. And of course, I don't want to say psychotherapy can't be helpful because it can always be helpful. But what I mean by that is being able to talk to other people in your life, maybe it's a therapist, maybe it's a family member or a friend, about your stress and your stress level, and using coping tools to manage stress. So that also is helpful in burnout. So whether that's paced deep breathing each day, or making sure that you're getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep, making sure that you're doing 30 minutes of aerobic exercise several times a week. What's in your toolbox for decreasing your stress level, which will help with burnout?
Interesting. I look at this a little bit differently, and I'm in complete agreement with what you're saying. But in my background was in elite sports. So I worked in the NFL, college football, developing Olympic athletes. And instead of managing stress, we were always thinking about how to build the capacity for more with less cost. Does that make sense? So a building adaptive capacity. And so when you do things like aerobic exercise, when you get enough sleep, you're enabling your body to adapt to stress. And what does the body do? It adapts and thrives. I'm interested in your take on this.
So you are correct, except that burnout is a signal that you are not adapting.
Right, right. You're too far down the line.
You're too far down the line. And yeah, in some instances, there may not be a window for adaptability. So for example, in what you do, right, we could be talking about anxiety. There's a place where performance anxiety absolutely helps you and makes you better, or a certain amount of test anxiety. Performing in some way, a certain amount of anxiety is good, essentially, right? It's not all bad. But when you've gone past that window.
Yes.
And yes, these coping tools I'm talking about, they could help extend the window, but only a certain amount, right? So there's a point at which if it's just too much,
right,
you're not going to be able to extend that window. And so it's the weighing back and forth between building some coping tools to manage as best you can, but also trying to offload a certain amount so that, you know, it's realistic.
Stress isn't the enemy. It's actually the gateway to growth, if you know how to leverage it. That's what my newsletter Adaptation is all about. Every week, I send you actionable information and resources you can use to be your best without burning out. I cover the latest research and tips for mental fitness, sleep, exercise, nutrition, and tips on leading yourself and others. Join this growing community of high performers from leading institutions like Stanford, the Cleveland Clinic, the NFL, and more. This newsletter is absolutely free, and you can get access by using the link in the show notes. Yeah, I like to get up and walk first thing in the morning early. And it's like, I do a lot of things. I pray, I think, I just say things that I'm grateful for. And I didn't even realize that I was practicing gratitude until recently. I was like, Eric, you're really doing a long extended gratitude practice. But I was thinking back on one of the things that I learned in my career is about stress inoculation, right?
Yeah.
And so to your point, you could have something come on so fast and so hard with such intensity that it's not like you could have built the capacity to adapt to that thing. And when I transitioned careers into software, when we first put out the first version of a solution, it broke. And I had a panic attack. I had never experienced that type of uncertainty. It was like I was not inoculated to that stress.
Right.
And the software engineers are like, Eric, you just need thicker skin, man. And I'm like, okay, Eric, go back into your toolbox. What do you need to start doing? Now I'm very stable when it comes to these crazy ups and downs. But to your point, sometimes you get too far over. How would you help employers prepare their employees so that they're not getting to this point? Would it be early warning detection? Would it be giving them the tools so they can build more capacity so we don't get to this point? You know what I'm saying? How are you coaching the employers?
So I am trying to help employers know signs and symptoms of these things, because the reality is when you're in burnout, or for that matter, an anxiety disorder, or for that matter, a mood disorder, one of the things that's impaired is your judgment and ability to self-reflect and know that that's what's going on. So you feel miserable, but it might not occur to you that's what's happening to me. So I think it's really helpful for employers to be able to spy and be educated about the signs and symptoms, for example, of burnout. And if you have an employee who is sounding like Lucy in the Peanuts, or, you know, suddenly they weren't, you know, if they become much more cynical, or they seem like numb and not there, like they don't care about what they're doing anymore, and you're observing that, I'm saying to an employer, hey, check in with your employee. Like, I noticed this. Maybe you're having a hard time. Not in a, hey, are you having a hard time?
You know, that's not helpful.
I'm not helpful. But, you know, in an empathetic, I noticed this and we could do something about it.
Yeah.
So I think that's helpful. I think companies having psychotherapists or evaluators who can be of help to their employees, I think is important. I think simply employers knowing, A, this is true, and B, it's not only a matter of like, how do we build up your tolerance for more?
Right.
Which, you know, they're already financially incentivized to do, obviously, right? So it's hard because, you know, obviously I'm asking employers to do something that isn't necessarily best for their bottom line, but I'm trying to convince them, because it's true, that it is best for their bottom line. Because if you have a bunch of dysfunctional employees, you are worse off in production than you are if you have just a couple of high functioning employees. So that it really behooves them to catch these things early and think about how they can help their employees in this path, because they will keep them, and they will keep them productive, and they will be more satisfied, and they will be more likely to stay their employees, which is an issue for a lot of companies, burnout causing people to just leave. So I think I'm trying to help employees understand that there are gains to be made for them by knowing these signs and symptoms, by intervening in an empathic way, being understanding, and giving them some resources that hopefully their company has, or asking for those resources. I'll give you another example. Employees or employers have insurance plans, right, for their employees. But the reality is that almost so many insurance plans have a list of who you can see for mental health that will be covered, and nobody's available on that list, like zero. So your employee tries to make an appointment and nobody has any appointment times. And the only person who can change, and your employee tries to call the insurance company and they say, too bad, that's what it is. The customer is the only person who can change this. The customer is the employer. So HR calling and saying, hey, we bought your plan with the understanding we had mental health coverage and we effectively don't. You need to show me the people on the list that are available within a 1 week time frame. That's what my employees need. That's what I'm paying for. But nobody knows this. Employers don't know it. I mean, who sits around and looks and calls up and sees if there's availability? But this is the vicious cycle I'm telling you as a psychiatrist, I know is happening. And employers need to know, because they are the ones who can provide that tool, that resource to their employee.
If you're heading on vacation soon, then make sure you listen to the next episode with Dr. Gail Saltz. It's coming up soon. We're going to talk about how you can unwind and decompress faster on your next vacation. Also, we have another episode coming up with Dr. Saltz where we're going to talk about how to survive the upcoming election season and strategies to stay informed without losing your mind. So be on the lookout for those episodes. And until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.